Let's pray as we read this scripture. And we'll say, Lord, your word that you put here for us to know you, thank you. God, our Father, who had a plan that was unfolding throughout history, leading to the cross of Jesus Christ. For history that's unfolding since the cross of Jesus Christ, thank you. Help us to see what you're doing in Christ here. Holy Spirit of God, help us to understand this stuff, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read. Let's start right in reading Exodus chapter 24, verse 1. Then he, which is Elohim, who's been speaking since chapter 20, said to Moses, come up to the Lord, which is Yahweh or Jehovah, who the Jewish people respected that name so much they would merely say Adonai. We say Lord. Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Who's talking? Moses is recounting to people what God has said, because the people said, please don't let God speak to us again. It's too awesome. We can't stand it. You come and speak to us. So God said to Moses, come up to the Lord. Do you see two things? Or do you think that God's talking about himself in an endearing sort of a nickname he gives himself? You know, and I'll say that to my sons. I'll say, come here to your old dad. Come to your dad. Come here. Right? But Moses is beckoned by God to come and meet with God, all of you, and worship from afar. Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but the others shall not come near, and the people shall not come up with him. That right there at the end of verse 2 is the end of a 4-chapter-long giving of the law. And although you could refer to all 5 books of the Torah as expounding the law, right? Do you know that? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the Torah. So if you hear Jewish people talking about Torah, or they talk about the law of Moses, or the book of the law, that's those 5 books wrapped up together. But just right now, we've heard the end of this dialogue, God speaking to Moses. It's kind of, I wouldn't even say monologue, but it's the giving of the law to Moses. So that most people referring to the law of Moses mean this part of your Bible that we're looking at. And then in verse 3, it says, Moses came and told the people all the words of the law and all of the rules. And the people answered with one voice and said, all the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, if I came and I read everything up till the middle of verse 3 and I said, repeat after me, which I'm not going to do. Are you cool with that sentence? All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That's signing up to a job you're going to fail at. But these people were so, you know, there's God, anything. We used to be, not very long ago, slaves in Egypt. It changed radically. You brought us to this place. I'm in. So there's commitment there. Would you agree with me that that's commitment, at least? You know, whether they know what they just signed up for. I mean, how many of you people downloading stuff from the internet these days click the box that says, yes, I've read terms and conditions? Right? And you're not going to get it unless you click yes. Right? Do you all read the terms and conditions? It's called the End User License Agreement, EULA. Right? And if you, I do read them because I'm, you know, a little bit broken inside. You know? You're not going to get it unless you get it, and they're saying, here's what we're going to do. You know? Now, some things, if you go and publish your ideas on that site, in their agreement, it says, by the way, we have rights to your stuff. And you wouldn't want to have given that away. If you're a writer, you know. If you got as many people interested as I do listening to me, you got nothing to lose, so you just sign it anyway. All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That's commitment. And then, verse 4, Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He wrote down what he told them. He rose early in the morning. He built an altar at the foot of the mountain. and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob. He sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. So altars in remembrance, they're not new. This wasn't the first time that happened. And burnt offering is a practice that appears to have existed before Abraham and Judaism. So they're doing something familiar there. But remember Passover as you read the next bit. Okay? Look at verse 6. Moses took of the offerings half the blood and put it in basins. And half of the blood he threw against the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and he read it in the hearing of people. So, taking minutes, reading of minutes, that happens even here. It wasn't just the idea of someone who wanted to steal 5 minutes from your life in a church meeting. Okay? Read it. And then he took the book, and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." So there's another layer to it. Or it's the same thing, but it's emphatic. I mean, it's the exact same quote with a little bit more. "And we'll be obedient. We'll do it. We'll really do it. We're in." Okay, I'm going to read it to you now. I'm going to read the terms and agreements of what you're downloading from Apple, because you need to know what's actually going to come. Right? "We'll do it. We read it. Yes. Thank you." "And Moses took the blood and he threw it on the people. He said, 'Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words.'" So, I'm not actually going to do anything gross, but what is that like when he's got and he's just splat, splat, bling, splat. Don't get it on the soundboard. It's electric, right? Splat. And would you like get speckled with it? That is a gross scene to me. I know I'm supposed to love it because, I mean, it's God and it's holy and it's exactly what Moses was doing. And I read it with a sort of a sanitized receiving of what God has done for me. But on the ground, it's like, it's messy. It's gross. It's a bacterially uncool situation. Right? What do you do when you take a chicken and you put it in the pan and you get it into the oven, right? And you got chicken on you. Do you go and grab your refrigerator handle and get that chickeny stuff? No, you don't, because it's bad for you, right? And even the plastic stuff that had the chicken in it, right? And now, because we're all such good citizens, some of it's recyclable, right? So you got to touch it again. Unfortunately, you can't just grab it all over and step on the handle and stuff. Some of you still do. Okay. And so you rinse it off, but you don't splash it. Everybody understands about avoiding the yuck. And here's Moses dispensing it over people. That's significant. I don't think you forget about that. I remember being just a little Catholic boy and the priest had a professional dispenser sensor, right? And it was just a metal thing and he dipped it into a bowl and he splashed it. And I remember being a kid being like, bling, you know? I mean, what is that? I don't know if there's religious significance to it. But in the mind of a child participating in a religious form of worship, It's one that I don't particularly subscribe to now that I've become more familiar with Scripture and that I worship God. I think the way that He's revealed Himself here. And so I don't know if with this thing that Moses did requires repetition. In fact, I know that it doesn't. But on the day that he did it, what was up with that from our perspective in this sanitized world? This is how people kept promises back then. That's the significance of it. Moses sprinkles and something is understood. May this blood remind you of this serious promise. Everything that God said we will do. Well, here's the deal. This offering to God, this animal that's dead in offering to God, that blood is on you of this promise. It's on your heads. Usually people would say that as a kind of like shaking off their hands, of disavowing themselves of something. Oh, it's on you, right? But that's not the point. Moses is saying, this blood will remind you of this serious promise. Now, did anybody here grow up like I did and say, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye? Is that, did you never, I remember that from being a kid, right? And so, didn't these people say something like that? All the Lord has said we will do, and splat, and splat. How about it? Are you with me? Am I getting too far off the plantation so far? It makes sense, right? If I don't keep my word, may I end up like this animal here whose blood is upon me. And I'm just going to wipe it off now. Is the service over? Because I don't really want it on me anymore. Yeah. Do you remember the blood on the doorpost at Exodus? Totally different scenario, isn't it? Completely different. That blood was mercy, protection, deliverance. So there's two major things coming together in Exodus here before us this morning. Consequence and covering. Right? If you don't, whoa. But because you do, hey, we are people. We're in covenant with God. What is He not going to do for us? How is He not going to watch over us?